one of the most significant thing about this season is about giving. Because God so loved the world that He gave. And one of the things that you want us to learn is to be as generous and to be willing to give as you have given us. So Lord, we pray that you bless the giver and the offering that we collected. We know that you will give wisdom to the leaders in the church of how to use the money. So we pray now that even as we reflect on your message, we pray indeed that you will challenge us to know the joy of the season, for basically deep down that's what we want, a life of joy which you promised to give to us. So we commit our time together into your hand. We pray that Holy Spirit be our guide even as we think about your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Elder Jeremy has given this theme, given me this theme, joy. And it's really a challenging theme. On one hand, I think this church knows a lot about joy. And already you have shared a lot of things. And your worship leader, I find Raymond is one of those who can really help us to be happy when we come here. You know? So being joyful is not strange about this church. And yet it's something challenging because it's something very personal. It's something we all know that we need to have, and yet we know that it comes and goes. And then we ask, how do we maintain the joy that we need to have? And much more, once we taste joy and taste happiness and gladness, we think that there's much more. Okay, that's much more joy, much more happiness that we need to have. So especially this season, we know that it's a very much associated with joy. I think of all the religious festivals in the world and celebration, probably Christmas is most well known for with the emotion of joy. Of course, in certain society, Christmas can be a very busy time and all that, but yet we all know that it's a time where the word merrymaking, happiness, no, let me see whether it's on. Okay, it's a time where people really have tried to encourage laughters and spirit of delight and pleasure, no? So there's no problem for us to identify this season as time of joy, although people want to differentiate between happiness and joy and all that, but this is a special season. But whether people really know the real meaning of Christmas, no, and why it's really a season of joy. And we do have, of course, the message from angels that's given to us, the Gospel Luke, where the angel appeared to the shepherds and says that, I'm bringing you good news that will cause great joy. You know? So the promise to the shepherd is that this event, this birth of a baby, will bring about not only joy, but great joy. Okay? So they receive this news, and so we as Christians and believers, we know that the Christmas joy is actually about the birth of the coming of Jesus, about an event. So yeah, we can speak about the angel's message, but again, your elder Jeremy has given me this passage to speak on joy. So I do find it very challenging, because if you know the passage, if you have read the Gospel of Matthew account of the wise man, actually the word joy only mentioned one time, right? And it was a description. It's not really from the angel. It was a description of the reaction of the wise men. Okay? In verse 10, it says that when you know the story, the wise men came, or probably they are called the Magi. You know, they came to the place where Mary and Joseph, baby, were. They reacted with great joy. So this is the only occasion. So it was a challenge for me, Jeremy, how to preach this message, actually. Because I have promised myself that when I preach a text, I want to just confine myself to the text. some people call it expository message or what. I try to draw the most out of a text. And so, we will reflect I try my best this morning to reflect on the theme of joy based on this passage of the journey that the wise men took and the sense, the reaction of joy when they came to the place and encountered Jesus as a baby. In a sense, the joy of the wise men can be easily explained because they were searching for this baby and they found it. And they found the baby. And of course, whenever you find something, of course, what do? You react with joy and happiness. Our source was found. Okay? In fact, they lost the star in somewhere. Okay? And then they went to the wrong place. They went to King Herod's place. And finally, they found the star, and the star brought them to the place. So, yeah, you can explain the wise men's reaction as an experience out of finding something that they were looking for. Okay? And of course, when you are working very hard, you know, and then, okay, you accomplish, express great happiness, you achieve it. And then that's what the wise men experience. I mean, they work very hard to come all the way, right, a journey, right? They made the journey. And so, yeah, when you come to reach your goal and you got a reward, your reward, you're always happy, right, when you achieve the goal. Okay? In a sense, the wise men was rewarded, you know, with joy. Of course, we can talk about this joy that we all want to have is something that we want to last forever, what we call the fairy tale ending of living happily ever after, in the sense that we all desire to live happily after. And we don't know what the wise men were thinking when they made the journey. Surely they were philosophers and astrologers. They were looking for some kind of solution to the questions of life, no? So they were looking for a happy ending. So this morning I want to talk about what's so special about the Christmas joy, which we all know, but I'd like to just try to elaborate from the wise man's story. Maybe I pray the Lord will help you to reflect on the joy that you're looking for, even as Christians. Sometimes it's very hard to talk about joy in the face of much challenges in our lives, right? I mean, this morning, well, the environment seems okay, we are happy together, but I don't know what's happening in your heart, no? Or what's happening in your individual life, what kind of struggles you have. How do you talk about joy in the face of the challenges we have? Or to the Nepali children, no? Brother Jeremy has shared, no? How do you talk about joy in the face of the glooms and the darkness we all have? What is this joy that we Christians talk about? The joy that Christmas says that we will have. Should we just stop all the depression and just have joy for one day and then continue with our depression the next day? Yeah. So what's so special about this joy that Christmas seeks to bring us? No, joy, in a sense, is kind of emotion, right? It's emotion, or some people say it's feeling. I'm not going to go into the technical definition of that, but many studies are being made about the human emotion, and that there is one suggestion that basically we humans have six basic emotions, six basic emotions. Anger, disgust, sad, joy, surprise, fear. And out of these six, all the other emotions that we experience are derived from them. Okay? Because if you do more studies, you'll find that there are different ways of categorizing emotions. But this is one scholar's opinion and have become the basis of further studies. So there are six basic emotions, and of course, joy is one of them. But you know that out of the six, four are negative. Anger, disgust, sad, and fear. Okay? In fact, so out of six, four are in the negatives. So that's quite telling, right? That we experience more the negative emotions than we experience the others. And basically, surprise is emotion, but it can either be good or bad. Like, no? You can be surprised and say it was a bad surprise. No, it didn't turn out good. But joy is a positive one. Also, it is, in a sense, not surprising that we find that the negatives dominate in our life because that's what the world has taught us. Okay, I mean, we are taught from the very beginning to survive. No, we must protect ourselves. So the negative emotions are reactions for self-survival, to protect yourself. We are actually, the word emotions can basically say is energy in motion. It is your energy in motion, but they need to be directed. And the kind of reaction we have comes from certain conditions that we are taught. And so, if in our society, we are taught that having a lot of money will make us happy and joyful, if from young you are taught that, then obviously that will be what you will be looking for. That will be the cause of your happiness, right? Because people can say there are other causes, but because you have been brainwashed and taught that money makes you happy, and you could see this happening in life, more money you buy, obviously you say, well, without money, I cannot be happy. So in a sense that people have said that this emotion, happiness and joy is really something that is taught to us, the causes are taught to us by society. You know, how our family, our society, our country, the world philosophy have taught us what really makes us happy. So that means that happiness is not simply something we generate within ourselves, but we are somehow conditioned to react in a certain way. This morning, my message will be on the joy of Christmas as due to three movements, what I call revelation, response, and relationship. And I'm doing this in relationship to the story of the wise men, of the three wise men. Can I move to the next one? Next slide? Stop. Okay. You know, the wise men's story very much, I'm not going to read the story. No, we are not told very much about the wise men or the magi, but there were, in a sense, three parts to the story. The first part, which we are not given information, is who they really were, right? I mean, from their conversation journey, we know that they were not Jews, no? But it was, the first stage is about their encounter with the star. And where they were, they say they have come to know that something is happening. Something is happening. That the king is born, the star represents the birth of a king. So that was the stage where they were at home, okay, doing their business of learning and doing their scientific research. They came to know that something is happening. So obviously, they must be happy in the career of a learner, right? I mean, you cannot say they had no joy, they were not happy doing, why were they doing what they're doing? They're not happy. They were happy. They were learning. And suddenly, out of the blue, came this event or this star, and they searched for the meaning of this star. That's the first movement. The second, next slide. can you help me move the slide? I'm not able to. Okay. In response to what they learned, they made the journey. Okay. We were not told exactly about the journey, but we know that they came from afar. Actually, from the story of the nativity as given in gospel, we can guess that by the time they came to visit Jesus, Jesus was no longer in the stable anymore, because Herod commanded that all the babies under 2 years old to be killed. So maybe they took more than a year to travel. So if they came all the way from the east, at that time, of course, they have no airplane and that. It was a long, long journey. Okay, so this is the second movement, that they decided, based on the knowledge they discovered, to make that journey. Okay, now sometimes we are forced to go on a journey. Many times our children are reluctant to go on a journey, we force them to go. But surely this journey was done out of great happiness, right? I mean, it was something that they were happy to embark upon. So you cannot say they were not happy, when they went through this journey. The second movement. And the third movement is when they reached the country of Judea. And so that's where they first encountered. They somehow lost sight of the star. They went first to Jerusalem. Then they met with Herod and the important people there to ask for direction. Then finally, they came to where the baby was. So that's the three movements. I like to call these three movements, the first movement as revelation, the second movement as the response, and the third movement relationship. I think when we understand, we can try to understand joy, the joy that God intends to give us based on this movement. Of course, I'm just giving you one perspective, and I'm trying to kind of use the story of the wise man to encourage to think about the joy that God wants to give to us based on these three movements. The movement of revelation is a movement where they received the message that what they saw about the star was not just an ordinary star. No, it was purposely used by God to communicate a message. A message that a king has been born. What this means that the joy does depend on what we were taught. Okay? So the shepherds heard the news from the angels that a child is born. So they were told, and this news will give great joy. The shepherds obviously had already in their mind some idea of our Messiah, right? Because they were Jews. No? So they could identify with what the angel was saying. So they followed that message. And that's what the wise men did also, no? They probably, they were scholars. They understand human longing. They were studying for the meaning of life. And firstly, they were Gentiles, but they understood the Jewish religion. Okay, they were non-Jews. We don't know really how much they understand the God of the Bible. But God used the natural event, the star, and helped them to understand that something is happening. And this is what we want to believe, that God is communicating to us all the time what is real joy. He's trying to tell us that this is what real joy is about. And he will use whatever phenomena we may know in the world. It could be the natural events. We can look at a natural thing and be filled with joy and say, wow, who created this beautiful thing that caused me to have joy? It may be something in our heart that causes, how is it I sense joy? Is it biological? But it all points to something. We need revelation. We need something much more to inform us that there is much more we can experience. And it has to come from somewhere above us, from God Himself. We can experience joy as a reaction, but we need to experience the real joy that comes from the one who has created us, who has created us to have joy. We need that information. That's what evangelism is about. That's what our aim of telling the good news is, that people may hear more about the real cause for real joy. Not the cause for joy that comes from just what the world has taught us or brainwashed us and informed us. Because for many people, the birth of Jesus, so what? Okay? But we want to tell them that this birth will lead you to know the real joy that you are looking for. So we need revelation. We need information if we want to have real joy. It's not certain things that we discover within ourselves. That is the first movement. We need to know. And the wise men, although they were very wise, God informed them, no, they need to know something more. And so that was what led them. Okay. Sorry. Move too fast. Okay, that's where they made their response and went on journey. You know, it was not necessary for the wise men to make the journey, right? I mean, it was not necessary. I mean, first of all, it was a Jewish king born. They were Gentiles, you know. I mean, I'm sure they have not understood the whole meaning of the cross and all that. They did not have to go. They could say, yeah, it was great information, something's happening in another country, a baby was born. So what? But something drove them. They decided to see for themselves. We saw, they said to the king, we saw his star and we want to come because this is something not ordinary. It's extraordinary. And I think this is where we must understand that joy requires some kind of response from us before we can have it. We must take action. We must make a movement. We must move forward. We cannot just sit still and think joy will just come. We have to reach out. And sometimes that reaching out may be very costly, very dangerous, risky. And which the wise men had to experience, right? I mean, they have to travel long distance. No, those times not easy to travel, right? With bandits and all that. I'd like to come back a little bit more before we end on this response. But obviously, they responded. That's why in the end, they had great joy. If you hear and you don't do anything, obviously, you're not going to have that great joy. It requires more than just knowing. It requires action. Joy does not come automatically. And which, of course, people are trying to give you instant joy, you know. You don't have to do anything. Just pop a pill and you will get it. You don't really have to stretch your muscle, okay? But if you want to know the joy from God, you have to respond. You have to move in the direction in which the star is leading you. You cannot get the joy from God according to your own process. It must come in His way. And finally, the third stage where they really ultimately receive that great joy is they entered into a context of what we call relationship. You know? That's where joy ultimately is found. It is not just a personal experience, but it's in the context of relationship. They first went to the place where the important people were. Obviously, if a great king is now born, and surely the important people should know, right? You know? So we wonder why the prime minister doesn't know certain things. I mean, in a sense that you are, something's happening, okay? A future king is born, and if you are lost, you should go to the people who should win and know. And so the wise men went, but the people said, well, we don't know really what's happening, but we know there's a prophecy. But obviously, when they heard that the king was born, the reaction from the people in power were anger and fear. Okay? And so if you read the Gospel of Matthew, it says King Herod and the rest of the people in Jerusalem were very much disturbed that a king was born. This is quite strange, right? You know? I mean, they were waiting for Messiah, especially Jew, and yet they were disturbed. And here is a negative emotion. And how is it that the shepherds were willing to hear the news and were joyful about that kind of news, but the people in the urban centers actually did not like the news? Well, who has much to lose? Obviously, the people were in power, right? When a new king is born. Yeah. They did not want to have a relationship with such a king because they know the change certainly be too painful. Obviously, for Herod, who was taught from young that power is happiness. And how to have power? But how come happiness when this power will now be taken away, a new king will come? But when they came to the house where Mary and Joseph were and the baby, they had great joy because it was in the context where love exists, where there is relationship. When there is fellow submission to one another, where they had great joy. Yeah, joy can only be experienced in the context of relationship where love exists. And I think that's very important for us, and I'd like to close in that way. To tell us, in summary, that the challenge about the joy of Christmas, that it has to be experienced in the way that God wants us to experience. You know, the problem in our world is, even in the church, is because our language becomes quite familiar and become meaningless, right? Because we use our words like love, joy, happiness all the time. And when you use words very often, without reflecting on it deeply, they become so common that they become meaningless. It becomes like cliche, right? It's something that we expected. And so the challenge for us is to always go back and ask us, what is this joy that God wants to give us? First of all, I submit to you the story of Christmas is a story about God Himself. It's not about us. is the God who is a God of joy. Now, it's not often said this way. We know that God of love, but God in Himself, there is joy. If you're not, then He wouldn't want to share with us, right? He wants us to have His joy. And the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before Him. So if you read the passage in Hebrews chapter 6, you'll find that it says that He was looking forward to sit at the right hand of the Father again. The joy that was before Him. It was not that Jesus didn't know joy when He was on earth, but He was returning. He was looking for the ultimate reward of being faithful to be in the presence of God. For only in the presence of God there can be real joy. Because joy comes from God. And so He must continue the journey and be faithful. As the wise man did, you have to make the journey. Because in a sense, joy is the reward that comes from God. And God gave Himself to us so that we may have joy. And when Jesus told the story of the three servants, He says, the one who is faithful, the reward is enter into the joy of your master. The reward is God Himself. The joy that God Himself will give is when you have finished what He has assigned you to do. Yes, you will have joy in working and serving, and you have intermittent joys and maybe great joy sometimes. But the ultimate joy that Christmas wants to tell us is the joy that belongs to God. And Nehemiah says, this joy of God is our strength. So we are not looking for the joy that comes from the world. The joy that comes just beyond mere reaction, which is part of capacity which God, the Creator of God, has given us. But He actually wants us to share the joy that He Himself has. We are not looking for an earthly joy, but the joy that comes from God, the Creator Himself. So that's the first thing about Christmas. Christmas is about joy being born, incarnated in the flesh, so that we may know the joy of God. And finally, joy and love must go together. Just now, Brother Raymond says some people can sing Messiah, but they are not believers. It's possible, right? You can be happy singing a joyful song, but in your heart, you may not know the joy of God. You may not know the love of God. Because we are created biologically to have the capacity of joy to be happy. But this is basically a signal that there is something more. A sign that God wants us to have the joy that comes from Him. And that joy can only come in the context of relationship, of love. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son, that you and I may have joy, and joy eternal. And Paul and Peter speaks of the unspeakable joy that comes because of salvation, of a relationship with God. My friends, I pray that we may have many experiences of joy on earth, no? But ultimately, we are all looking for the joy that can come from love, that can only be experienced in the context of genuine love. Joy in the context of relationship. Yes, we can have joy as a very personal experience, but in the end, it's joy that comes from relationship that God wants us to have. My closing challenge is let us be like the wise men. Allow God to use whatever net talents, whatever interest you may have, and help, let Him point you further, that you'll be willing to respond and make the commitment to endure the cross so that you may find great joy, especially joy in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the way to that joy. Let's pray. God, You are a God of great joy. Because everything comes from You, You have designed and made us in such a way that we may know joy not just joy to live in this world, but truly a way of life. But that joy comes only from you, because you are a God of joy, because you are in relationship. You are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are God who is full of love. I pray for all of us that in this Christmas season, though we will rejoice because we know the good news, but I pray for each one of us that we will know finally that we want to know this God who wants to give himself to us, that we may know real joy. And we know that there has to be a journey still, no? Because on this earth, this fallen earth, we will find hard to maintain that joy. But we pray that we may be faithful. Follow the path that Jesus Christ has taken and lead us to the joy everlasting in Christ. Thank you for this time of reminding us of the joy available to us. In Jesus' name we pray.